You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
It is one of the more famous Old Testament stories about Elijah. There are a lot of stories about Elijah. His very storied career as a prophet in the Old Testament. One of the most, well, maybe tragedy turned to joy of those stories is the story where, after having stayed with a widow in Zarephath, the Gentile territory, the son of the widow dies and Elijah raises him from the dead. In the end, she calls him a man of God. What does that mean? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of today's program with Pastor Tom Baker, talking about God providing for the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17. Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So this all begins with a drought that God sends against his people. Why did he send that drought?
Yes. The Sunday school lesson is 1 Kings 17, and God comes to Elijah to tell him about this drought that is going to occur. But in chapter 17, he doesn't tell him why. So you need to have scripture interpret scripture. And the way you find out about why the drought, you go back to chapter 16. And in the end of chapter 16, verse 30, we get Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned in Israel for 22 years. And what does verse 30 say? He did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And remember, he's the one that takes a wife called Jezebel, and she persuaded him to go and serve the idol Baal and worship him. And verse 33 says, in light of all this, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And that's the point that is being made here, that God is going to, as he did through the whole book of Judges, the people loved God, then they get involved with idolatry, so then God sent them negative consequences. They realized they sinned against the Lord, and then God would provide them with a judge who then would defeat the enemy that was attacking Israel, and things would return to peace for a number of years until Israel once more began to worship other idols, etc., and the cycle just keeps on going. So here, with Ahab, the worst king of all the kings in God's mind, he decides to send a drought because the people are following Ahab in worshiping false gods who don't even exist. And that would be the reason for the drought.
How does God then provide for Elijah at the brook of Cherith?
Now, this is the introduction to Elijah, the Tishbite, who says to Ahab, and this is because the Lord has talked to Elijah, the Lord, the God of Israel, before whom I stand, he says there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. Now, this was a way of escaping from Ahab, who wanted to kill him, particularly his wife Jezebel. So, what good is it to be hiding by a brook? Well, verse 4 says, "You shall drink water from the brook, and I've also commanded the birds," these are ravens, "to feed you there." So Elijah did what the Lord told him to do. He went and lived there, and guess what happened in the morning? The ravens, these birds, brought him bread and meat, and also in the evening, bread and meat, and he was able to drink from the brook. So after a while, the brook dried up because of the drought in the land. And that's where we're at this point.
The Lord then sent Elijah to live among the Gentiles, in particular to Zarephath. Why did he do that?
Well, remember, the reason he went there was to be hidden. And verse 3 says, "Depart from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith." Well, Ahab, the king, isn't going to go into Gentile territory, which was Zarephath, and that's why God sends him there. But he sent him there because he had prepared a woman to feed him, just as he had prepared ravens to feed him. In fact, the original Hebrew is, "Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." The same kind of language he uses about the ravens, that he has commanded the ravens to feed you at the brook. And so he goes to Zarephath, and he comes to the gate of the city, and there he sees a widow gathering sticks, which means she has no husband, and boy, there's hardly any way to make money, and she's gathering sticks in order to perhaps make a meal for her and her son, and Elijah calls to her, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she says, "I have nothing baked." That's the reason she was gathering the sticks to make a fire to bake. "And I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son." And here's how verse 12 ends, "that we may eat it and die." So the drought was having an effect even in this area of the world. And boy, she did not believe that after she ate the flour, a small amount that was left, and the oil, that therefore they would have anything to eat and they would end up dying. And what does Elijah say? He says, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son." Now, wait a minute. I thought there was hardly any flour and oil left, enough for her son and herself. How could she make some for Elijah? Well, the fact of the matter is, the Lord had spoken to Elijah and told him that the jar of flour shall not be spent. In other words, it won't go empty. And the jug of oil shall not go empty until when? That the Lord sends rain upon the earth. It kind of reminds you when Israel was in the wilderness complaining that they didn't have anything to eat, what did God do? He sent manna from heaven, a bread-like substance. In fact, it's called manna because the people say, "What is it?" And in the Hebrew, that's manna. And so how long did they eat the manna? They ate it throughout their years in the wilderness, and it stopped dropping from heaven when they entered into Canaan, because there they would have plenty of fruit and meat and various flouring material to make bread, etc. So God was still taking care of them. But notice, the manna stayed while it was needed. And this is also true here that God does with this flour and the oil. It will not be empty. And in fact, it says in verse 15, she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. So that she would go back and make food for Elijah, thinking it was the last of the food and they would have none for themselves. Why did she do that? Because faith. She believed the promise from God through Elijah that there would not be an emptying out of the flour and the oil. And so therefore, through the Holy Spirit, she had that faith. Just as Elijah had the faith to go to the brook Cherith, there were no stores there to buy food. And boy, he had to believe the promise that the ravens would bring him food. This is very important that the Sunday school teachers get this across, this first part of the lesson, that God has made promises to the children and he will grant them whatever he feels they need. So when you pray to the Lord for something, he always will answer in a positive way. And we'll talk more about that later when we get to the second part of the lesson.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on God providing for the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17. What is the point then of that miracle with the flour and the oil? How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Easter Sunday is less than 20 days away. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is A Simple Explanation of Easter. It's a booklet that helps visitors and new Christians understand why Christians celebrate the true Easter miracle. A simple explanation of Easter is sold in packs of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and church pews. Learn more about a simple explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation of Easter. We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel, about God providing for Elijah in 1 Kings 17. So briefly, what is the point of the oil and flour miracle before we move on to the raising of the widow's son?
Yes. In reality, we can understand that point by Scripture, interpreting Scripture. We go back to Egypt with Israel. They're in bondage there. And what does God do? He sends them plagues. And it's very noticeable that each of the plagues is actually against one of the gods that the Egyptians worship. In other words, they would have the god of the rivers. All of a sudden, the rivers turn to blood. And they can pray to that god all they want. That blood doesn't go away. And you can go through all of the predictions that God says to Moses will occur because Pharaoh won't let his people go. And they're always against one of the idols of Egypt. Well, the reason that God allowed a drought to come is that when Ahab and Jezebel set up worship centers for false gods, two of them were Baal and Asherah, and the people believed that they were the ones responsible for sending rain, which also then grew the crops. Well, they could pray to Baal they wanted and Asherah all they wanted. No rain was falling. And so what we would show to the Sunday school children is how did the widow continue to live and to eat and to have flour? It didn't come from a false god like Baal or Asherah. It came instead from the God of Israel, the true God, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's mentioned as the Lord, the God of Israel, in verse 14, and the word Lord is capitalized. So what we have here is a lesson for the Sunday school children. They pray for daily bread often when they say the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And that bread, as Martin Luther points out in the Small Catechism, refers not just bread made from flour, but anything that we possess, good weather, good government, a nice home, good parents, a great marriage, wonderful children. That's what's included in this bread. And as the Bible says, they had that flour and that oil remain until the drought ended. So that would be the point I would be making to the children. Look at the promises of God who will fulfill your needs as he sees fit.
After the widow's son dies, what does she say to Elijah?
She says what we often hear as pastors. When someone dies at an early age or even an older person who dies unexpectedly, you'll often hear, why did God allow that? Is it something that I have done wrong? In fact, here's what she says in verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 17. She's talking to Elijah. What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. Now, if God is going to remember our sins, especially a woman like this who believed the promises of God, then we do not understand Christianity. Because to remember our sin would mean that she would be going to hell. That's how God remembers the sin of unbelievers. He gives them the consequences of what they desire, namely a life without Jesus. In fact, in the readings of both Jeremiah as well for this Sunday, and also in the book of Hebrews, it says very clearly, the new covenant is when I will no longer remember your sins because I will forgive your iniquity. I will not hold you accountable for that. But we in our weak state of the Adam, old Adam, often think that when bad things happen to us, this is God trying to get even with us, bringing us to remembrance of our sin. And it's very important that the Concordia Publishing House material, Enduring Faith, indicates very clearly that God does not give us the punishment that we deserve of eternal hell. Now, we may get negative consequences for evil that we do here in the secular realm, but in the eternal realm, in the spiritual realm, we receive no punishment at all. Why? Well, this is the tie-in to Jesus, because Jesus provided himself as the substitute for us, as he was punished for our sins, and he rose for our justification. And we get those blessings from Jesus by means of baptism. We are buried with him. We are crucified with him in baptism. And in the Lord's Supper, we receive the resurrected body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we are one with God. And you don't argue with somebody like that who says, oh, I'm having these negative results in my life because my sin is being brought to my remembrance, and therefore that's the reason my son died, because of my sin. Well, Elijah looks at her and he says, give me your son. Whether he knew what was going to happen is not clear, but he takes him from her arms, goes up to the upper chamber, that's where he was lodging, laid him on his own bed, and then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I have sojourned by killing her son? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord, that's all capital letters, that means Yahweh, my God, let this child's life come into him again. Why three times? Well, there's a father, there's a son, and a Holy Spirit. If there was another reason, it's not made clear in this passage. But verse 22, the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. Now, when it says that the Lord does not hear us, that doesn't mean he doesn't hear the words of our prayer, but he doesn't answer it because perhaps of unbelief. But when he listens to us, that means he's going to answer the prayer in a way that he thinks is best. And guess what happens? The Lord listens to the voice of Elijah, verse 22, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now, a lot of people think that that is the first resurrection in the entire Bible. But I kind of remember that according to Hebrews, Abraham believed that his son Isaac had been brought to life from a dead womb in Sarah. Now, we may not call that a resurrection from the dead because that was him becoming incarnate under Sarah. But there does appear that the Old Testament makes it very clear there is a resurrection from the dead, which, by the way, disagrees with some of the religious leaders at the time of Jesus who thought there was no resurrection from the dead. So, after the child is raised, you made the point that she says again, now that I know you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Now remember, this is the second time that she refers to him as a man of God. In verse 18, what have you against me, O man of God? And now in verse 24, I know that you are a man of God, because the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Jesus, one of his favorite titles, is Son of Man. He is the man of God sent by the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7 to earth to redeem. But he's also referred to not only as the Son of Man, but the Son of God. The angel of the Lord is Jesus. Now, what she is saying is because Elijah's word is true, then he is truly a man sent by the true God himself. The only other point I would want to make here is a question that's in the Sunday school material. How do you pray for things according to God's will? The answer is as follows. If God has a promise that he's made in the Bible, you just pray for it and it will occur. So you can say, as I read your scriptures, increase my faith. God will do it. Or when we baptize an infant, we don't add, well, this infant is now baptized. We pray he's received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, if it is your will. No, don't add if it is your will there, because there's a promise in baptism. So, how do we pray according to God's will? We see Jesus' example in the garden. He asks for something, the cross to be taken away, but then he says, but not my will, thy will be done. And when that occurs in every prayer where there is no promise, then God always answers according to his will, which is always for the good. And that's found in Luke 22, verse 42.
So finally, with about 30 seconds, what is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that we often complain to God that because of my sin, you're getting even with me, God. You're punishing me. And that's because the law accuses us of sin. But we need to realize the gospel, which teaches that he will never punish us eternally in hell, and therefore whatever we receive from him is according to his will, and he will always do it to our good.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll resurrect our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It's media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. We'll have Dr. Jordan Cooper respond to a Calvinist proof text, and we'll discuss why it's impossible for Christianity to embrace transsexuality with Glenn Stanton. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.